Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Why don't you find Hebrews chapter 12 to begin with. We'll begin there. And sometimes you don't know how long you're going to preach on something. I kind of got a feeling I'm going to be on this just a few services. And don't anybody leave, because we're going to talk about pursuing holiness. And what that means, amen, that, you know, thank God we were made righteous. But look what the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. The Bible says to follow peace. The word follow also means to pursue. So pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. So, you know, we're told to pursue holiness. You know, we don't pursue righteousness. We are righteous if we're saved, if we're born again. We're already made righteous. So that's a done deal. How many know that? You can't get more righteous than you are. Right? You're as righteous right now as you're ever going to be. You mean I won't be more righteous when I get to heaven? No, you won't be more righteous when you get to heaven. You may be more happy, but you won't be more righteous, because you're already the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, you can't get more righteous than the righteousness of God in Christ. That's as righteous as you can get. However, we can walk in more holiness. We can, like the Bible said here in Hebrews 12:14, we can pursue holiness. And I mean, our example is like, you know, Deanne was saying, you don't look at somebody else. Our example is Jesus. You know, people say, well, I live as good a life as they do. Well, that's wonderful, but they're not Jesus. Right? And so, and you don't, now we have a church today that has really lowered the standard. Really lowered the standard of the word of God. Not us. Not this church. But I'm just talking about as a whole, the church has lowered the standard. We try to keep the standard higher. Amen. And you know, I mean, I wish we were perfect. We've only got one among us that's perfect. Jesus. Some are pointing at Scott, but anyway. That's a running joke around here, by the way. Amen. We do love Dustin. But anyway, any opportunity we get to pick on him, we take it. Amen. Anyway. But help me understand, Jesus is our example. You know, it's like a story I heard about an older pastor that was, you know, he lived out his time. He was dying. He was in the hospital. And he knew his time was right at hand. And so he asked the hospital staff, he said, would you do me a favor? And they said, well, sure, if we can. He said, would you get my lawyer and my IRS agent to come up here and be with me when I die? And they said, well, okay, sounds kind of weird. They didn't say that to him, but they thought it sounds kind of weird, but we'll do it. And so those guys, they called the lawyer, his lawyer and his IRS agent, said, hey, this pastor, older pastor, you know, he was dying, and he wants you to be by his side when he dies. And they were really honored that, man, he would ask us to come be by his side. So they got there, and he said to the lawyer, he said, would you stand on this side of my bed? And he said to the IRS agent, you stand on that side of my bed. And he said, because I want to die just like Jesus, with two thieves on either side of me. I mean, we want to be just like the Master, right? You know, don't let some preacher or some other Christian or whatever may be popular today be your standard. Go back to God's Word and let it be your standard. So we're not, you know, when I got saved, you know, of course, you know, God doesn't show you everything that you still need to fix at once. Is anybody glad of that? Because honestly, just because I had given up drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon and all the other stuff I drank and doing the drugs I did, and I thought, man, I have arrived. I've given it all. I've laid everything on the altar for Jesus. Well, I had laid some stuff on the altar, but there was still a lot more that needed some work. And God didn't show me everything at once. He doesn't show you everything at once, you know. It's like I've talked about and told you the story about, and I hope you get tired of my stories, but I don't want to make up any new ones that aren't true. But, you know, when I was young Christian, just saved, and I went to witness to one of my friends that, you know, we ran around together and did drugs together, and I went to his house to talk to him about Jesus and try to lead him to the Lord. And he was working on his TV, you know, and he was just cussing like a sailor, you know what I'm saying. Now, see, in my world already, I'd given that up, all right? I'd already arrived at that point by this time. But so I said to him, I said, Brad, you need to give your life to Jesus. And he said to me, he said, I did. Now, you know, I'm young in the Lord. I don't know any better, but I thought King James. I didn't know there was any other translation of the Bible. I thought God spoke in Elizabethan English. And so I thought, when he said, I did, I thought, thou didst not. You know, saved people don't talk that way. And how many of that, after you grow, well, that's the truth. You don't use your mouth for anything but good things. And so God doesn't damn anything. How many know that? But anyway, it's just like I had enough sense. I heard something inside my heart. Leave him alone. Just leave him alone. He's walking in all the light he has. And it was something because he worked for the airlines and he got transferred and he had to go to another city from where we lived at. And he said, do you know any churches there? And I did, and I recommend him go to that pastor's church. And he went there, and the very first service he was there, the pastor preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Would to God churches still talked about that. There's power, amen. That's where we get power. And so he didn't know anything about it, and he looked at this person, because he told me the testimony. He looked at somebody he was sitting by, said, is that something I should have? And they said, you don't have the Holy Spirit like that, you know? You know, when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit, but there's another dimension of power. And he said, no. And he said, yes. So he went up there, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, got in a word church. That church was a word church. And all of a sudden, he started to change. See, God started to show him things. Now, it was a good thing I didn't try to tell him everything was still wrong with him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just wasn't time. He had to grow. The Bible, Jesus said, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Amen. So we're to pursue holiness. We are righteous. We can't gain more righteous than what we already are, but we can get more holy. And that's something when I got saved, I began to pursue and seek after. When I find out this is something God wanted me to do or it's something he didn't want me to do, well, I gave that up. Now, I'm not going to tell you, and nobody ever lives this life without having some battles. Amen. And your flesh will cause you trouble, but you've got to learn you have authority. Hallelujah. The greater one lives inside of you. Amen. And so we don't have to just yield to anything our flesh wants. It gets you in trouble, won't it? Amen. You know, I if you do everything your body wants, you're going to kill yourself. You're going to destroy your life. You're going to ruin your relationship with the Lord. He'll love you. But what happens is sin hardens your heart. God doesn't throw you overboard, but sin hardens your heart. And how many know sometimes I was reading one of my own writings this week. I just stumbled across it and thought, you know, that's pretty good. Even I wrote it myself. It was entitled Throw Jonah Overboard. Wasn't that what, something like that? Throw Jonah Overboard. So sometimes we have Jonahs in our life. We can't understand why the seas are so rocky. Sometimes you got to throw Jonah overboard. That could be disobedience, you know, or sin or things that you know are in your life that shouldn't be in your life. And I can't understand why I'm having such a rocky time. You got to throw Jonah overboard. Amen. 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 And you don't have to be a baby Christian to have a Jonah older Christians have Jonas. Amen. And we have to throw him overboard. Amen. And that's part of living out this life. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, go there. I'm going to probably look at some scripture this morning if we have time. 1 Peter chapter 2. So, just so we're clear about this, holiness is something that we pursue. We're made righteous, but we pursue holiness. Righteousness was something that was imparted to us at the new birth, but holiness is something that we're going to pursue after. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, Peter said this, he said to us, he said, but you are a chosen generation. Amen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, the King James says, a peculiar people. Can anybody say amen? Amen. God's got some peculiar people. Yeah. But it just means we're special. We're people to God. That you should show forth the praises of him. Now, notice this. Who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, when God saves us, He's calling us out. You know, the word church, actually, you trace it back. One of the meanings of it is called out ones. We're called out of something to go in to something. We called out of the darkness to go into the marvelous light. I always tell people, I didn't quit drinking. I didn't quit doing drugs. I got something better. Amen. You know, I know that there's a lot of opinions about this, but my opinion is all that counts for me. But, you know, I eat chocolate. I know some of you won't come back to church here now, but anyway. But I don't hold a candle to Miss Phyllis. There's probably never a time, very rare, that you will open my refrigerator door and there's not chocolate in there. Isn't that right, Pastor Jerry? Once or twice in 30 years that maybe there wasn't chocolate in there. But, you know, there's a place there in town. I'm not going to do a commercial for them. But there's a chocolate place in town just down the street. Now, I like Hershey's chocolate. You know what I'm saying? I've bought some of the expensive stuff, you know, and I like Hershey's. But I got to say, one day I was eating this Hershey's chocolate. I like the solid little chocolate bar. I shouldn't say this. I'll end up with it. I like those little solid chocolate bars, you know. I was eating one of them. And then, actually, I was eating some of the good chocolates. That's what it was. I was eating some of the good chocolate from down the street. And I finished it all up. So I went to the Hershey's. And I always thought I liked Hershey's until I ate them side by side. And I thought, this stuff is trash. Man, this other stuff, really, this is the real deal. Now, you know, if I don't have the good stuff, the Hershey's tastes great to me. Matter of fact, I ate one last night, and I thought, that tastes really good. But I'm just aware there's something a lot better. Look, when I got saved, I didn't give anything up. I got something a whole lot better. I mean, being with God in prayer and the Word, going to the house of the Lord, worshiping Him, giving my money to His work. Man, His presence, His glory, His anointing, praise the Lord. Wigglesworth said one time, I'd rather have the anointing of God for 5 minutes than the world with a fence around it. I understand what he's saying. If you've ever been in that anointing and that glory, and you can get in there through praise and worship. Amen. And you'll enter in during a service. You're going to find yourself in there at times where that glory is going to hit you. And I'm telling you, there's nothing compared to that. I thought, why would I want to do something that might in any way hinder that from being in my life? I began to pursue God, began to pursue holiness. No, I wasn't perfect. I'm still not perfect, and neither are you, or neither is anybody else. But it's a matter, it's not a matter of what happens in our life or what maybe we yield our flesh to. We get tempted and we yield our flesh to. It's a matter of what we're pursuing. Does that make sense to you? See, we're to pursue something. Sure, I've had slips and so have you. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. Somebody said, I don't know what 1 John 1:9. Well, you better find out. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. I was reading that one day. I thought, well, if He cleanses me from all unrighteousness, what's left? Righteousness. So I thought, thank God for that verse. But I don't pursue anything but God. I don't pursue another lifestyle. I don't pursue anything but God. My pursuit's the Lord. You know, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And let me just give you a word of caution. Don't you, there's so much information out there online, on the internet, videos and stuff. Don't believe all that junk. You don't know the person. About every preacher you want to look up, there's a nasty thing about him. Anybody on TV, nasty things about them. First of all, we shouldn't even digest that. And if you have to build your ministry on tearing another one down, you don't have much of a ministry. Let's just settle that right now. There's no ministry in the Bible, the ministry of the discourager. I have an anointing to discourage people. Well, we know you got an anointing to discourage, but it didn't come from God. God has no such gift. He does not have the gift of fault finding. Oh, I just got discerning of spirits. No, you got discerning of fault finding. That God doesn't have that. Pay no attention to that. One particular preacher, I'll leave him unnamed on TV, I've seen articles about him, said he has 700, he's taken all your money, my money, all the widow's money, all the poor people's money, and he has 700, he's worth $750 million. I heard him say one time, he said, I sure wish I was. It's all lies. But yet, the world believes it. But church folks, we shouldn't believe that stuff. Amen. It's quiet in here, but don't fall for that stuff. It's just, they're full of lies. Amen. All right. Now, God called us out of all that darkness, out of all that junk, so we could go into His glorious light. How many lights a lot better than darkness? Amen. And so I just want to just share some scriptures this morning, and as we go through this, we may look at several things, but I just want to share some things because God, we're to pursue it. Now I don't care if you're if you're like me and you've been doing this for over 40 some years. I think heading towards 45 or whatever it's been. I guess it has been about 45. If you've been doing that long, you still haven't arrived. Amen. When I get to be, if the Lord doesn't come back and I'm still here and I'm 95, I still haven't arrived. I'm still going to pursue God. I'm going to pursue holiness. I'm going to pursue Him. Amen. Because He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And He did something really good for me back in 1981. Amen. Now look at 2 Corinthians. Go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You have a Bible with you. Look at that, 2 Corinthians 6. And I want to read this. There's a place in Revelation where the Lord told His people that we're still here during, how many of there's going to people get saved during the tribulation period. And he tells His people, said, come out of Babylon, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and of her plagues. Look, I always tell young people this. Make no mistake about this. Who you run with, that's where you're going. Don't you fool yourself. I don't care if you've got a good heart, you run with the wrong people, you're going to end up in the wrong place. Because you're going to follow them to the wrong place. Now, I want you to think about that. You know, God called, the first king Israel had, his name was Saul. And he turned out bad, right? And so God called somebody else. He anointed a little shepherd by the name of David, who was just a young lad at the time. And he was so unlikely to be the king that when the prophet Samuel came to David's father's house, Jesse, and he said, bring your sons because I'm going to anoint one of them to be king. That they didn't even bother to bring David in. What's that tell you? They had no clue. They didn't think there's any way. This little kid out there keeping sheep, there's no way he's going to be king. How many know if you got more than one child, you got one that you think there's no way he'll ever be king? You decide which one that was. But God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart. And God said of David, he has a heart after me. He loved me. He wrote all the Psalms. He's out there worshiping God. So, you know the story. Samuel, he goes down and he goes to anoint one of David's kings or sons as to be king. And he's got some good-looking sons. And he sees the oldest one and says, surely this is the Lord's anointed before me. I mean, you know, good-looking boy, big guy. And the Lord says, no, he's not it. Don't anoint him. He goes to them all, none of them. And I think he might have done it again, and none of them. And he looks to Jesse and says, is this all your sons? He goes, well, I got one out there keeping the sheep, but we didn't bother to bring him in. When he came in, the Lord said, anoint him. He's the one, see. He's the one. God doesn't see like man sees. Amen. Amen. And so David wrote the Psalms. He loved God. He made his mistakes, but he followed God. He pursued God. He was after God. I was telling that story for a reason. Now I'm like Deanne. I can't remember what I was going to talk about. But anyway.
Show me your friends. I'll show you your future.
Thank you very much. That's it. Somebody's paying attention. Here's what I was going to say. God raised up David to be king. And then Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan and David were in covenant with one another. They loved one another. Jonathan was a good person. And he knew David's going to be king because he said to David, they made a covenant with one another. And Jonathan said to David, he said, someday you're going to be king and I'm going to be right next to you. I'm going to be your right-hand man. See, here's a guy who's not after power. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. He's got a right heart. He's a good person. But instead of following David, he followed his father. He knew his father was bad. He knew David was going to be king. And he knew God's will was for him to be next to David. But he didn't leave his father. And his father was evil. And he died the same way his father died. And I tell young people, if you look at your friends, that's where you're going. Amen. So you have to determine for your, you know, I had to make a decision. You know, well, I remember before I got saved, I had to make this decision. I remember the night it happened. I still remember the night it happened. I was having real trouble. I knew how God was dealing with me. I knew that His presence was on my life. But I hadn't given my life to Him. I wasn't born again. I'm still partying. I'm still doing all the things I've always done. And I remember, you know, because I would think, what am I going to tell everybody? How am I going to break loose from all these people? All these friends. How am I going to do that? And I remember the night we were in a bar and the band was playing and they were singing this really ignorant song called On the Highway to Hell. And people were dancing. And when I saw that, something clicked inside of me. And I thought, you know what? I thought, look at those fools down there dancing because they're going to hell. And I thought, well, you fool, you're going to hell too. And I made up my mind right then, I'm not following these people any longer. I'm going to follow the Lord. Now, it did take me a couple months before I finally pulled the trigger, but I was on my way out. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look at this in 2 Corinthians. Come on, are y'all with me this morning? 2 Corinthians, we're talking about pursuing holiness, how we need to pursue it. And this will probably be a two-part message, maybe. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go there, verse 14, Paul says, but be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Amen. He didn't say don't love unbelievers, don't witness to unbelievers. He said don't be yoked with them. Now, what is a yoke? Well, you yoke two oxen together, what's going to happen? They're going to go the same direction because they're tied together. And Paul said, don't tie yourself together with unbelievers. We're not saying, now listen now, we're not saying we're holier than they are. We're not saying we're better than they are. We're saying we're redeemed and we're going a different direction than they are. You understand? This isn't a religious spirit like, I can't touch you. No, Jesus ate with sinners. Amen. But he spent time with them for a purpose that was to lead them to the kingdom of God. Amen. And so one of the, thank God for it, but one of the very first things I did when I got saved, I left my old friends behind. Now, I witnessed to some of them, you know, not all of them, some of them. I shared the gospel with them, but I left them behind. I quit going where they were going and doing what they were doing. Oh, they didn't give up right away. You know, I remember getting a call, very first thing, I got my life to the Lord, and the first call was he's my best friend, and he says, where are you at? And I said, I'm at home. What are you doing at home? I said, well, I'm home. I mean, you know. He said, my sister got married. We're having a party at the house. I want you to come over. And I said, well, I'm not coming. He said, well, I'm coming to get you. And I said, well, I'm not going to go. He said, well, why aren't you going to go? I said, I got saved. He said, saved from what? I said, saved from hell. Well, that didn't compute, and he just hung up. And then the next weekend, you know, I'm at home and knock on the doors. Our mom or dad let him in. I was living at home at the time, and I was down in the basement. And all of a sudden, he comes down in the basement, and he goes, hey, so-and-so's out in the car out there. And he said, we're going to go smoke some dope or something. He said, come on, you're going with us. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. And he was big enough that, you know, and Randy knows who I'm talking about. He was big enough and strong enough. He played football for we had a high school football team. You wouldn't know it by our record because we knew more about losing than winning. But when my friend played and he played fullback, they had fullbacks in those days, we played 10 games a year. We usually won about one of those. And that was considered a good year. But when he played, we won 7. He was a one-man football team. You couldn't tackle him. 7 guys would jump on him. He'd just carry him. He was just that good. So this is the kind of guy we're talking about. This is how strong he is and all. And so he comes down, and he's like, you know, you're going to go. I said, no, I'm not going to go. And I gave him a track by Brother Hagin on I Went to Hell. I wanted to let him know they're going to hell. I didn't know much, but I knew I wasn't going to hell now. And so I'm going to let you know, you don't need to go there. You don't want to go there. And so I gave him that track and sent him on his way. And eventually things settled down. But I made one mistake. You know, one time I had one friend. This tells you my life. I had only had one friend that didn't do drugs or didn't party and drink. Only one. He told me he was high on life. And Randy, you'll probably remember that guy, Rob. Yeah, he is high on life. I thought, well, he's on something. Weird as he is, he's high on something. But he said, I'm high on life. And I think part of it was his father was an alcoholic, and he saw the mess his father was in, and he didn't want to go that way. But he still liked us guys, and he wanted to hang with us, and at least some of us. And so he came out, and he said, come on, go with me. And I'm thinking, well, okay, it's him. You know, I'll go, you know. I mean, what could happen? Boy, was I ever wrong. He took me straight to my old friends. They were out partying on a pontoon boat on the lake. One of them got a rubber raft, came out there after me, you know, said, no, get in, you're going. And, you know, I went, got on the boat. They're all partying. They're all doing dope, you know. They're smoking a joint, and they pass it to me, you know, hand it to me. And you know, I look back, and I thought maybe I should have thrown it in the water, but then I realized I would have went with it. And but I just passed it on down. I didn't hit on it. I gave it to the next guy. one of my friends said, nothing's changed. And I thought, oh, brother, you don't know. Everything has changed. Yeah. I still love you guys. You're still my friends, but we can't be yoked together. I can't go to the same places you go. I can't do the same things you do. Why? Because I've been born again. I'm going to go with God's people. I'm going to go His direction. And if I don't have a friend at all, I've got a friend in Jesus. You understand? Now, you understand, I'm just 21 years old. I'm a young guy. But I've made my mind up. If nobody goes with me, I'm going with Jesus. And I did have a friend or so that did get born again and give their life to Jesus. Some of them a little later. Well, at this time, probably a number of them, I think, have been born again. But I'm just simply saying, you can't be unequally yoked together, because you're going one direction, their life's going one way and yours is going another. Boy, it's hard to preach with all this shouting going on. You guys quit running the aisles now. You're going to run into something. Now look at this, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Notice this, because he's going to ask this. Here's the reason. For, here's why we're not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteous? Number one, what fellowship's righteousness with unrighteous? I mean, it has no fellowship together at all. Number two, what communion has light with darkness? How many know? Your light, their darkness. What concord or agreement has Christ with Belial? You're Christ. You're in the body of Christ. Now, we're not calling them bad people. Listen to the way I say this. When it says Belial, it also means a very evil spirit. How many, did you know this, that everybody that's not born again, we're, by default, are literally being influenced by the devil and the principalities there? By default. Now, some of them may be like, you know, I've got neighbors that I really like. They're decent people. But if they're not saved, they're being influenced by the prince of the power of the air, even though they may not know that. Now, you got to know this. Listen now. And I didn't know this. My mom used to try to tell me, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. And I thought, well, I am serving. You know, I'm not serving anybody. And then, you know, Bob Dylan came out with that song, you got to serve somebody. And I had my eyes open one night. One night, I was with a friend of mine, two friends of mine. We'd been down in there at my friend's house in his basement doing some things that, you know, we shouldn't be doing. And we got ready to leave his house. And when we got in his car, I got in, sat down. He got in, sat down. He and I were in the front seat. My friend was in the back seat. All of a sudden, this evil presence came in this car. I mean, it was demonic. And I'm not making any of this up. Both of us looked at one another. Now, he's not a believer. I don't know if he knows much about God or much about church. I do, because I've got a born-again mom. I've got a mom that's already been telling me, you're either serving God or you're serving the devil. And I think, get out of my face. I'm not serving anybody. Just leave me alone. I'm serving myself. But he looks at me. I look at him at the same time. And he looks at me and goes, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. Put the car in gear and let's get out of here. But there's this demonic thing. After that night, I believed my mom. I realized I am serving the devil and I didn't even know it. I'm not going to serve him. And it wasn't long till I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't do it right away, but it wasn't long. So that was another incident that really marked me. But you know, Paul's asking this. He's saying, look, what do we have an agreement? What agreement, notice this, has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believes with an unbeliever? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? How many know you are the temple of God? Unbelievers are idols. I hope you hear my heart in this. I'm not saying they're necessarily what we would call bad people, but they're just not serving God. And when you see, a lot of people have real trouble with this. A lot of the world has trouble with this. I can't believe that a loving God would send people to hell. You ever heard that one?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. God's not sending anybody to hell. We sent ourselves there through sin. He sent us a loving God sent us a way to get out. If we go, it's because we chose. When Adam sinned, he sunk the whole ship. He sold us all out to Satan. And by default, we're automatically children of wrath by nature, the Bible says. We're in that old creation. But when we get saved, we get into new creation. Amen. Doesn't mean that we're just something special. We're only special in God because He did something for us. So who's going to hell? Who's going to hell is not the people God sent, it's the people that reject His free deliverance from there. Nobody will ever be able to stand before God and say, oh, why did you do this to me? He didn't. He paid the price to get us out of there. Hallelujah. That's called grace. Amen. So people don't understand that, but that's the gospel. Amen. Now notice what else he said. He said, verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you're the temple of the living God. As God said, I'll dwell in them, walk in them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Verse 1, chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Notice this. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How many know we can't perfect righteousness, but we can perfect holiness? Amen. Amen. We can pursue holiness. We can pursue living for God. There's a lot of things I've got to say about this. We don't have time. We'll take it up whenever, either on a Wednesday night or the next Sunday that I preach next Sunday. Brother Ken will be here. But I just want to challenge you this morning. Look, no matter where you're at, no matter if you've been serving God as long as I have, there's still another level of pursuing holiness. We're never done. We're never done. You know, I tell people, you know, we all still have flesh, and so we all get tempted. But, you know, as you get stronger in the Word, it's less and less. But about the time it's like Brother Hagin said, about the time you think you've got it, you find your feet where your head once was. Because you got to realize we don't have it without Jesus. Amen. We don't have it without Jesus. Amen. And so we have to we have to make sure that we stay connected to the vine. Amen. Connected to the vine. Because I've just watched this over the years. The devil will, he'll try to find your weakness. He'll try to bring something in and pull you away. And you got to be smarter than that. You got to be wise. I remember when very just first got saved. I was just a newborn babe, you know, and I'm in the church there, you know. And all of a sudden, one service, two of my old girlfriends shows up. They come to church. Now, that's okay if they're coming to get saved. But the pastor, he had some discernment about him. Thank God for that. He came to me. He said, that's a setup. The devil's trying to pull you back out. I took his word. And I took this stance. Girls, you want to come to church? You want to get saved and speak in tongues? Get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Fine. If you want to date me, forget it. God's got this beautiful, lovely, gracious, smart, anointed woman waiting for me. And she's just a few years away. I'll wait. Praise the Lord. I didn't say all that. I made that up. Yeah. Because I didn't know all that. I believe all that, but I didn't know all that then. So I didn't know that. But he came to me. I'm glad he did. He came to me. He said, that's a setup. Yeah. They showed up here for a setup. Yeah. They want to pull you out. Huh? No, and they probably didn't know it either. I'm not saying, yes, yeah, thank you. I don't think they came there with that purpose in mind. But the devil, he influenced. They're still his children. They're still listening to him, not knowing it. And so they came for, there was just some things that just wasn't right. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We got to pursue holiness. Amen. Nothing's better than spending time with the Lord. Nothing's better than being in His kingdom. Amen. You know, I've been on both sides of the fence of this thing, and now the only thing I think about, I don't think about, boy, I wish I'd have done that before I got saved. Because I think I tried about every sin there was, you know. I don't think that. I think I wish I'd have got saved sooner. Man, this is a great life. This is a wonderful life. Amen. And so don't fall for the traps of the devil. Don't fall for his lies. You know, remember when he came, and I'll close with this. Remember when he came to the in the Garden of Eden, and he told Eve, he said that it's good, you know, when he told her to eat of the tree, you know, that God, you know, you'll be like God. I mean, they were already in God's image. But he said, when she saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes and so forth, you know, she saw the good. You know, one thing I know about the devil is when he tempts you, he only tries to show you what looks like the good part. That's it. He didn't stop and say to Eve, you know, when you do this, you're going to sink the whole human race. One of your sons is going to kill the other son. You're going to have all kinds of turmoil, pain, really sickness, disease, death, hell, all over every. He didn't tell her that. He just tells you the good part. Because he's a liar and the father of it. There's no good part to sin. There's no good part to sin. As a Christian, I've never sinned and thought, man, that was so good. I think I'll try that again. Never. It's always brought grief into my life. That's a sign of being born again. Amen. Did you get anything? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for His Word. Amen. I know this wasn't like one of those shouting messages or like, oh, praise God, Pastor, preach that one again. I mean, hey, well, I'm going to. All right. I just might because I got some more to say where we need to pursue this thing called holiness. What is that? Holiness means I'm separated to God. Amen. I'm separated to Him. I've left everything else. I'm separated to Him. I look back, you know, over my old friends. I still think about them from time to time and all. But it was just like, you got to come and go with me. I'm not going with you. And I remember dragging one. And you know what? Here's the thing about it. It will shock you how many of them that are open for Jesus, open to Jesus. I remember dragging one of them to a, he wasn't saved, and I got him and I took him. We used to have, some of you older people remember this, we used to have what were called Christian coffee houses. Y'all remember those? And they were baby, they basically all of us had lived in the bars as they were a transition out of the bars into something that was a little better. All right, we had, it was like a bar atmosphere as far as the dim lights, and they had a band and all, but they served non-alcoholic drinks and played Christian music. Come on, anybody remember going to one of those? Okay. All right, yeah. So I took him to one of those, you know, I took him to one of those because I thought, yeah, this is kind of a transition. You know, he's used to partying, and this is kind of like that, except he's going to hear the gospel here, you know. Yeah. And which he did, you know, he heard gospel music, and people would share the gospel, you know. And so the band's playing. The band's playing, and they're playing worship music, and I got my hands in the air, you know, and he's standing beside me, you know. And I look over there, and he's got his hands up in the air. And he's got this stupid-looking grin on his face. And he looks at me and goes, what is this anyway? He goes, is this like an antenna on a car? I thought, couldn't have said it better. We're putting up our hands, getting reception from heaven. And I've never forgot that. I thought, boy, out of the mouth of babes, man. Yeah, this is like an antenna on a car. And he gave his, he didn't that night, but he eventually gave his life to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.